Welcome to episode 267 of the Lunatic Files podcast. Hey people, how's it going? Today is Friday, November 17th, back for another installment of the Lunatic Files podcast. What's wrong with me? Can't even get that first line out. Hope you're doing well. Let me tell you, Kyle from Florida is on fire, but he will never be president. Not after the letters that he's been sending. You know, it started okay. It looked like you were supporting the sugar cartel. Right? Falling in line, doing your job, doing what any good politician should do, toe the line. But then you kind of went crazy, buddy, and it's too bad. I was hoping one of us would have a shot at that office one day. It's certainly not going to be you, and I'll get to that in a second. Also, talk about my trip to Vancouver a little bit later. Got here on Monday. I've been having a great time here in the rainy city. What else is going on? Some stuff out of Fox News, Washington Post, just some, you know, regular irritating, infuriating news. So let's get to it here. So, couple messages from Kyle is pretty funny. So it started, like I said, innocently enough. He did an interview on a nutrition website where he made the mistake of sharing his honest opinion on... What was it? What was the, was it diabetes or insulin intolerance or whatever it is? Had the nerve to claim that sugar had nothing to do with it. Now, I have no idea. I thought it was sugar, buddy. But what do I know? I don't know anything about this stuff. I honestly thought sugar was a problem. You obviously disagree. And then you gotta love the comments on YouTube. Kyle just getting ripped to shreds. Trust me, I know how you feel. Don't take it personally. Try doing a podcast or a video where you say something critical about Trump, and watch all these alt-rights come out and just shred you to pieces. That's always fun. Another story. This I actually clipped off of Kyle's Facebook, and I didn't know what it was going to be. His Kyle's comment was something about, you got to appreciate it when they just come out and say it. And I was thinking, what is this? And it's a link to a article on MedUSA Magazine. And the author... is this the one? Why we should believe women who accuse right-wingers of rape more than those who accuse liberals. You go through this article, and basically what he says is that liberals deserve a pass on this stuff. I don't know about you guys, but all I'm seeing now in my news feed are accusations of sexual assault, and this is an old story, so this one I think was about George Takei, the guy who played Sulu. So he was accused. Of course, he is a liberal. And this article is saying that people like that guy should get a pass. And it is. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're just coming out and admitting it. And this is not the only evidence of that I've seen. I actually saw an interview on a network with a little bit more circulation and credibility than MedUSA, Medusa magazine. It was one of those morning shows, like Today or Good Morning America on the weekend or something like that, and they actually had someone, I guess he was a writer, he had ties to the gay community and came on as an expert and was talking about the whole Kevin Spacey thing, how, you know, the move that Kevin Spacey's publicists use where they address the issue of this sexual assault, basically what it was, with, on a minor, or attempted anyway. And he addressed it and then came out as gay to deflect the attention. And most of us on social media saw that as really lame. And it was actually social media that that called him out on it, because as the guy on the interview mentioned, the mainstream media kind of went with it. I think 3 out of 5 networks, he said something like that, led with the part about Spacey coming out and not about the alleged sexual assault or attempted assault on the minor, which is just incredible. But anyway, so that in itself is incredible. But then the guy also said that Spacey shouldn't expect to get the cover that some other people would get, because he was not a good member of the gay community, meaning he didn't come out until now, and because of that, he shouldn't expect them to give him cover. But I guess with other people, they will expect and maybe receive that type of cover. It's ridiculous. But anyway, that crazy article. So thank you for that, Kyle. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, of course, the doozy, right? Do I do the Louis C.K. part, or do I do the Bond question? talk about range. Let's do the Louis C.K. one. This is the part that is going to prevent you from ever being president, Kyle. He sends me a message that says, what, referencing Louis C.K., what did he do wrong? Really, Kyle? This is where some of us libertarian anarchists get in trouble, I think. And essentially Kyle says that what he did wasn't criminal, nor did he do anything against voluntarist ethics, because he asked for consent, I think, and there was no force or coercion, he claims. Technically, that sounds like it was true, but I'm going to surprise you here, and I'm going to go with the liberal media on this one and side with them. Because from what I understand, at least in one of the cases, what he did was he misrepresented his intentions. He convinced 2 ladies to go into his apartment or his hotel room. Then he closed the door. Then he locked the door so people from the outside couldn't get in. And then he intentionally stood in front of the door while he proceeded to do what he did. And so there was no, I guess, physical coercion per se. But just the fact that he was standing there doing it, blocking the door, is a little bit, that crosses the line. And the fact that these ladies may have been physically intimidated, I don't know. It's like if a cop pulls you over and asks you for your ID or asks you to get out of the car in a situation where you think the law is on your side, you still might go along with it, right? Because you don't know what he's going to do if you refuse. If he asks you to get out of the car and you refuse, who's to say he's not going to take that baton and smash you in the head or whatever? So there's a threat, which I think has to be taken into account. But anyway, I haven't heard anything about criminal actions being taken against him, so he's just not going to get very much work. Which is, isn't that the way a free society should work? I mean, people don't want to work with him anymore. And as a fan, I thought he was a pretty funny guy. But now when I see him, I just don't find the appearance of him very funny anymore after this. So that seems to me to be a free market voluntarist solution to this. Especially since he's at this point admitted that he did it. So it's on us to decide. The facts are not in question anymore. Okay, and finally, Kyle. Kyle sends along with that. I like how you just pivot to that, the bond question. So he goes from Louis C.K. to, a while back I asked if I understood the Treasury trade correctly. Funds would buy bonds and then sell them back as interest rates fell, making a spread on selling the now higher yield. And by levering up, they could make a decent, stable return. Could you explain how one of those trades would go down in actuality? No, because it's not a trade that I do or that I'm engaged in. But I can tell you that I think it was more of a carry than a trade looking for capital gain, in the sense that they would take a bond that was yielding, I don't know, 2% or 2.5% or something like that, and then they'd buy it with a reverse repo. So basically buy it like a mortgage, like you'd buy a house, where you'd put, I don't know, 5% down or 2% down or something like that, and borrow the rest. They would actually use the treasury itself as the collateral for the repo to finance the purchase. So you're basically buying the thing, and I don't know what the haircut would be on that. So maybe they're putting down 5% to get these things. So just incredible leverage. And so the yield on the carry would be huge because of the leverage. So now you ask, so I think that's why people were doing it. Did the recent half-point rise in rates turn those funds upside down yet, or what? Again, I'm guessing, but I would say probably not, for two reasons, because the rate hike compared with what they were probably yielding on the carry was huge. It was small compared to what they were yielding. And then the yield curve was actually flattening. So I don't think yields have changed very much on those longer dated bonds. So, but I don't know, because it's not something that I do. That is just my guess. Albert, you're doing great. Hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing well, Kyle, and thanks for the message. Elon Musk in the news. And, you know, I've been trashing that guy. Well, not sort of that guy, but the company. Yeah, and the guy too. I'll admit it, the guy too, just because of this, what I see as arrogance. And he, you know, I haven't shorted the stock just because I'm too emotionally charged up about how much I dislike what he's doing, meaning cashing in on this sentiment with all the government support and whatnot. But here he goes again. This time he, well, we all know that the company is just hemorrhaging cash, and it's not a secret anymore. It's not only David Stockman and us rejects talking about it. Anytime Tesla's mentioned now on mainstream business news, they talk about how much cash this company is hemorrhaging and the fact that they are not delivering on their promises. And, you know, every time it starts to look bad, what does he do? He comes out with yet another product. So he comes out with an electric semi-tractor and also a, was it a roadster? In an effort, I guess, to deflect attention away from the cars that he is not delivering and the money that he is not earning. In fact, the money that he is hemorrhaging. And I think that is the best time to short Tesla, right? Even though I'm not going to do it, and I'm not recommending that you do it. The time to do it, you would think, would be when he pulls one of these desperate stunts and a bunch of fools rush in, believing the story, bidding the stock up. That, to me, would seem like the time to do it, if you were going to do it. So I don't know what Tesla's doing. I think it bumped a little bit on that news. I don't know if it's gonna, if it's come back down yet. But is that crazy? Just, I mean, how really, how gullible are people? So he's just gonna put another flashy object in front of you, and you're gonna forget the fact that he has, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so left for Vancouver on Monday. Monday morning early, came out with my mom. My mom was visiting, of course, and then we both flew back together. It's funny, my mom. I'm in her room the night before we come back, and there's this rectangular box on the side table, and it's an old school alarm clock. Leave it to my mom, right? Who has a watch these days, let alone an alarm clock? Like a separate standalone hardware device that is just an alarm clock. I mean, it was so funny to see. It wasn't the kind with the manual arms with the two bells on the top with the hammer that goes between them that you wind up, but it was pretty darn close. It was a digital equivalent of that era of alarm clock. So she pulled that puppy out to make sure we got up on time. And it was a good flight. Got out there. I guess that's one nice thing about being in California for me, is that it's like a 2.5 hour flight, 3 hours if you include all the FAA nonsense that you go through just to get on the runway. But 3 hours gate to gate, and that's not bad. Of course, Houston was, I think it was 3 to 4 hours, so it wasn't that much worse, actually. But that's nice. So I got left at 6, got in at 10, was in the office by 11. Office meaning the condominium, working. And I got about 2 hours done on the plane, so it was like I hit work at 9 o'clock. So that was great. But anyway, couldn't help notice. I don't know if you experience this, but on the plane, there always seems to be one person who, well, let's face it, there's a lot of people who don't check in anymore because they don't want to pay the whatever, $20. So they bring all their crap in the plane, take up all the overhead space. But there's always one person with just this enormous backpack, right? And like they're going on one of these European, you know, Europe for $2 a day type backpacking trips. Like stuff hanging out, you know, hanging off of it, clipped on, you know, every strap. And they always got to put that thing on as they're leaving the plane. And so the thing's sticking like a foot and a half off their back. And they got to start rotating and taking out everyone within like 2 feet radius of their body. You know, and invariably there's some old person or some little kid that gets smoked when they're doing it. I mean, what is it with these people that they're so... I mean, I realize you can't see the thing because it's on your back, but that's why we have memory, right? That's why we evolved to have memory, so that we can... Sorry. You know, so we can create this mental map of our footprint on this earth and not take out the poor lady with a cane that happens to be trying to get out of her seat. Anyway, so that was the flight. Overall, it was a great flight. Like I said, got here. Canadians are on holiday. And by the way, Canadians love their holidays. Oh, man, do they love their holidays. You know, that's one thing that makes Canadians different than the American counterpart. In the States, you think you like holidays, you ain't seen nothing compared to here. They love their holidays. In fact, holidays in the States, they just cause trouble if you think about it. Think about what's going on today in America. And it started, I think, with the MLK Day in Arizona, right? That was a big thing. We're not observing that, right? There's a problem. Now you can't call Christmas Christmas, and it just seems to be one problem after the next. So holidays are very divisive in the U.S. Here, they're people love them. No controversy about Thanksgiving or Christmas that I can tell. Maybe there is, but from what I can tell, not the same. And it's not like they're less racist. Here, they're just more lazy. Canadians are just more lazy. So anyway, I've been working here for the last week. It's been great. It's really nice to kind of shake up the routine. I had to do some really mundane stuff, like just terrible stuff, actually, I had on my plate. And I've been working on it for a while. And it's amazing how much just a change of scenery makes that stuff more tolerable. So I've been doing that. And if you want to imagine... Well, actually, you don't have to imagine where I am because I'm in the boss's office. He's got a Vancouver office. And if you've ever seen a video of Rick where he seems to be in a really tight office, although this thing is not that tight. It's just a regular-sized office where he's up against the glass and then you look outside behind him and all you see is skyscrapers and this like kind of dreary weather, overcast sky, Vancouver sky. That's his office in Vancouver. That's where I am working right now. And it's funny, if you watch those videos, the comments are, I love YouTube comments. There's one where he's in this office doing a video and someone asks, why is Rick's office so small? And someone else says, well, it's, and the other thing, it's crazy how much some of you know about us. But anyway, someone says, well, that's not his office. That's his Vancouver office. His California office is much bigger. And then someone else chimes in and says, Rick is a giant. And that's why he looks like the office is small. Anyway, I thought that was funny. It's just a regular size office. Okay, 20 minutes in already, thanks to Kyle. So why don't we move on to the news? Fox News, Hannity calls for Keurig protesters to stand down. Isn't this crazy? This is just over that guy who's running for Senate. People got to calm down. So who is this guy? What's his name? This guy who is running for Senate, Roy Moore, who has been accused of sexual assault. And trust me, I am no fan of Sean Hannity, but from what I could tell, all he said on a show once was, give this guy a chance, let's find out what's really going on. And sponsors started pulling their ads just over that, apparently because of Media Matters was targeting the advertisers. But can you believe, I mean, I can believe it, I've seen it, how spineless these companies have become. They just won't stand up for anything. I mean, he really said nothing from what I could tell. I could be wrong, but from what I heard, it was nothing. He just said, let's find out what's really going on, let him respond or whatever. But it wasn't the one answer that is socially acceptable, so they trashed him, bullied the advertisers, and some of them pulled, and Keurig was one of them. And Hannity's fans did not take kindly to that and started smashing their Keurig coffee makers. I like that. I think people should tell these advertisers who's really in charge, right? Definitely. And then the Hannity asked for a ceasefire, asking fans to quit smashing their Keurig coffee makers. But, you know, good for them. Tell these advertisers who's in charge. It's not Media Matters or whomever. It's the people. It's the real people. Washington Post. More than 400 millionaires tell Congress, don't cut our taxes. You know what I say? Good. Don't cut theirs. Cut mine. Let them pay more. Tired of these guys, these Buffett types, right? Saying, don't cut my taxes. What they really mean is, don't cut our taxes. Yeah, it's annoying. This is funny on Fox News. This kid in Atlanta had to go to CNN for a field trip. And, oh, what happened to my, I deleted the link. I'll try to find it again. But basically, this is a kid who lives in Atlanta, and the school took all the kids to a trip to CNN headquarters, and his parents bought him a FNN fake news network shirt mocking the network, and he actually wore that, or tried to wear it, to the network, and they made him take it off. And the parents are claiming that his First Amendment rights were violated. All I can say is, get used to it, kid. That is the world you live in. Okay, finally, sticking with the Canadian theme. This is absolutely crazy. And it's an old story, too. I don't know why I just found... Oh, I know why I just found it now. Oh, yeah. Alex Jones. I was in one of those moods. I put on Alex Jones, and he was going on about this. But this is actually an old story. Google wants to run cities without being elected. Don't let it. And this is out of TheGuardian.com, October 24th. Google wants to start running cities. They want to build cities, bubble cities, essentially. Can you imagine what those are going to be like? So they want to build a city in Toronto, in suburban Toronto. Sidewalk Labs will be in charge of redeveloping a waterfront district called Quayside. And it's going to be 3.3 square feet of residential, office, and commercial space, including the new headquarters for Google Canada. And people are going to live in this bubble. And can you imagine what this place is going to be like? I mean, yeah, it'll have all the best technology, so that'll be cool. But think about, you know, Google's been in the news because of their policy regarding gender and whatnot in the workplace. What kind of place is that going to be to live? Worse than living in Toronto, living in the Google bubble. town of Toronto. Can't imagine. I wonder if this would be an interesting experiment, right? If this actually becomes a real city. Because if people live there, live their lives there, will these people, given enough time, will they evolve, you know, with as they breed, will they actually evolve into actual sheep? I wonder if that will happen. All right, that's the show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I will check you out next week. Have a great Thanksgiving if you're in the US, and take care. Talk to you later.